after Easter, and I cannot help but think and wonder about what human existence might look like if we ever really lived as though death had no dominion, because it does not. If we ever lived as though Christ's resurrection had changed everything, because it has. Except, as far as anyone can tell by looking around, it has not. It has not. Death still has hold of us. Death dictates our every waking moment. Death insinuates itself into our politics and our pocketbooks, sits down at our kitchen tables, and seduces us every night before we drug ourselves to sleep. Moreover, death appears to be calling the shots as we walk shepherdless through the valley of the shadow. Because why else would we be so obsessed with defending ourselves, securing our future, feathering our nest, providing for our own, and keeping everything unpleasant off stage? Death decrees, in the words of Wendell Berry, love the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay. What more of everything ready-made? Be afraid to know the neighbor and to die. And you will have a window in your head. Not even your future will be a mystery anymore. Your mind will be punched in a card and shut away in a little drawer. When they want you to buy something, they will call you. When they want you to die for profit, they will let you know. For all intents and purposes, Easter has changed nothing about life on planet Earth, because we who call ourselves Christians believe, and we are teaching our children to believe, that Easter has nothing to do with such flesh and blood things as economic justice and power politics, tax codes and defense budgets, minimum wages and Medicare benefits, entitlement and exploitation. Religion post-resurrection, we say, should continue to stick to the spiritual, feel-good, have-a-nice-day sentiment that will send us home after an hour, max, on Sunday morning, with nothing much more than a familiar hymn to occupy our undisturbed minds. Scholars think that this same spiritualizing of the resurrection prompted an elder in the early church to write a letter, the letter that is before us today. Apparently, a preacher, probably a visiting preacher, who began his 10-minute sermon with a joke, had come through town, and that was a joke. See, that's why I don't tell jokes, you guys. That's why I don't tell jokes. Okay. Anyway, apparently, a preacher had come through town and convinced believers that Jesus was not really human. The logic went something like this, according to New Testament professor David Bartlett. If Christ only appeared to be human, then he only appeared to suffer. If he only appeared to suffer, then he only appeared to love. And here is the heart of the matter. If he only appeared to lay down his life, only appeared to love, then there is no earthly reason to think that following him would involve laying down our lives either. or sacrificing our well-being, or giving ourselves and our substance to a brother or sister in need. It was an earlier way of saying, don't mess with the social order. Stick to things spiritual. Of course, those first witnesses to the resurrection could not help but mess with the social order so completely in the thrall of death. Why are we putting ourselves in danger every hour, asked Paul, to counter the same spiritualizing of the resurrection in Corinth? I die every day, he almost seems to shout. And then goes on to explain to the community, still living as though death had communion, if with merely human hopes I fought with wild animals at Ephesus, what would I have gained by it? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Let us love the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation without pay. Want more of everything ready-made, be afraid to know our neighbors and to die if death has dominion, if Christ not be raised. But in fact, I say again, Christ has been raised. Believing, really believing, death to have no dominion over them. The disciples fearlessly began to engage in what Czech theologian Jan Lachman has called the historical practice of resurrection. The historical practice of resurrection. It is a practice that returns us in the first place to Friday and to the human act of laying down our life, relinquishing the illusion of our privileged hold on the future that has been so seamlessly underwritten in this society by the power of death. To retreat from the abyss and focus solely on the transcendent, writes Scottish composer James Macmillan, of the artist in this regard. To retreat from the abyss and focus solely on the transcendent would be to conform with the post-Christian spiritual narcissism of our predominant culture. The clue that you and I are still in the grip of death is that if the thought of relinquishing your control on the future terrifies you, death has hold of you. Who can stand? According to Lachman, far from being terrified, the disciples interpreted their experience as an invitation to freedom. Freedom of a kind otherwise unknown in a period so fraught with oppressive powers and belief in fate. Hard on the heels of the invitation came the practical response, Lachman continues, the incomparable missionary venture of the infant church. Knowing what they knew, the apostles could not simply leave the world to stew in its own juice. In the light of the resurrection, they knew the world and its history were now open. From the perspective of the cross, death had no dominion. What would it look like? What would it look like if we lived in response to the invitation to freedom that the resurrection is? If we refused to let the world stew in its own juice, if we really believe that the world and its history were now open to God's reign because death has party politics. Hence, I hide once more through the words of Wendell Berry. So, friends, every day, do something that won't compete. Love the Lord. Love the world. Work for nothing. Take all that you have and be poor. Love someone who does not deserve it. Denounce the government and embrace the flag. Hope to live in that free republic for which it stands. Give your approval to all you cannot understand. Praise ignorance, for what man has not encountered, he has not destroyed. Practice resurrection. In the second place, practice of resurrection returns us to Holy Saturday and to the harrowing of hell under the earth, as early Christians believe it gave us an imagination for the anticipatory harrowing of hell on the earth, here and now. In the first cell on the lay brothers' corridor of the cloisters of San Marco in Florence, I searched the eyes of 1,000 times 10,000 haloed souls in limbo, who disbelieved for joy as they beheld their rescuer, his foot on the flattened door of hell, his hands outstretched to grasp the last who now is first. With the devil and so death writhing in defeat beneath the weight of God's mercy. Harrowing of hell. Holy Saturday. The first part of the liturgy on Holy Saturday in the dark, reports Robert Jensen, broken by the light of a candle burning with new fire. The great hymn begins, "This is the night in which, in ancient times, you delivered our forebears, the children of Israel, from the land of Egypt, and laid them dry shod through the Dead Sea. This is the night in which the darkness of sin has been purged away by the rising brightness. This is the night in which, breaking the chains of death, Christ rises from Hades in triumph. For it would have profited us nothing to be born had we not also been redeemed. O necessary sin of Adam, that is wiped away in the death of Christ. O happy sin that was worthy to have so great a redeemer. All this before the lights are turned up and the symbols of Good Friday removed. If you are still with me, imagine your life that was on Friday laid down, dwelling now in the company of brothers and sisters whose lives are a living hell. Think of the once hoarded and now relinquished life by which you thought you were cheating death laid down. See in your mind's eye a hand, perhaps your own, reaching down to pull out of the hell of hunger and homelessness, out of the hell of war and violence, out of the hell of debt and debilitating illness, out of the hell of hopelessness and desperation, a brother or sister in need. Their eyes disbelieving for joy that God has not forgotten them and sent you, even you, to represent him who descended into hell. I deny the resurrection of Christ, writes the young minister, every day. I do not serve at the feet of the oppressed. Every day that I turn my back on the poor. I deny the resurrection of Christ when I close my ears to the cries of the downtrodden and lend my support to an unjust and corrupt system. We talk a lot these days about practicing resurrection, says Shane Clyburn of his community called The Simple Way in Kensington, just moments from where we live. these days about practicing resurrection by making ugly things beautiful and turning vacant lots into gardens and loving people back to life. Not a bad encore after Easter here. After all, resurrection is something we get to do every day. Every day is Easter. We are a resurrection people. The community's newest experiment is a greenhouse built on the fire-scorched land where their houses burned 5 years ago. It includes a 200-gallon hydroponic fish pond. I bet, like the ponds Billy Nevin has helped build on our behalf in Haiti. We are now cultivating life in this post-industrial ruin, says Claiborne. We see the dark side of the global economy every day. Every morning we wake up on the wrong side of capitalism. But we see hope. We see grace piercing concrete. We see a neighborhood coming back to life, rising from the dead. Practice resurrection. But finally, Sunday does dawn. When the practice of resurrection on the third day is hoping against hope, putting your whole trust not in the things which are seen, but in the things which are unseen, living with a light touch, an abiding gratitude, an astounding wonder that the love that death could not imprison, now lives and abides. When death is the final thing, writes Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his Unfinished Ethics, when death is the final thing, earthly life is everything or nothing. When it is recognized, however, that the power of death has been shattered, when the light of the miracle of the resurrection and the new life shines in the depths of the world of death. We do not demand of life any eternities, but take from life what life has to offer, which is not everything or nothing, but good and evil, important things and trivial things, joy and sorrow. 4 weeks after Easter, I cannot stop thinking about what human existence might look like if we ever really lived as though death had no dominion. Lived as though Christ's resurrection had changed everything, because it has. Want not, therefore. Lie down in green pastures. Linger beside the still waters. Fear no evil. Go with your love to the fields, writes Barry at the last in echoes of the psalm. Lie down in the shade. Put your head in her lap. Swear allegiance to what is nighest your thoughts. As soon as the generals and the politicos can predict the motions of your mind, lose it. Leave it as a sign to mark the false trail, the way you didn't go. Be like the fox, who makes more tracks than necessary, some in the wrong direction. Practice resurrection. The Good Shepherd.